But what was the funny factoid? Now, you might think I'm reading too much into this, but I think that given Tolkien's worldview, given the fact that he was clearly somebody inspired by medieval patriarchy, medieval monarchy, that I think that this little detail is not insignificant, especially when you realize that Sméagol's a bad guy, right? That he's a character who's easily succumbs to the lure of the ring and becomes destroyed by it. He mentions that the water folk, among whom Sméagol grew up, were run by a matriarch. It was a matriarchal society. And the head of that matriarchal society was Sméagol's grandmother. It very much struck me when I read that, because you don't see matriarchy any place else in any of the societies in Middle Earth, not among the men, not among the hobbits, not among the Hobbiton has a mayor, right, and he's a man, not among the dwarves, not among the elves. It's simply not a matter of matriarchy. Even the white lady, right? She is an elf, and she's an elven queen, but she's got a husband, and she talks about his authority. So it's not at all matriarchal. I'm speaking, of course, about Lady Galadriel, the White Lady. So she's not an instance of matriarchy. There's no matriarchy anywhere, but he specifically identifies this society, this disordered society that Sméagol grew up in, as matriarchy. That's just kind of to set the pace. I want to – now, what brought this to my mind? Here we are in the Christmas season. This show actually might premiere on Christmas Day. I was unable to find out exactly when it's supposed to premiere, but the something got me thinking about this recently. And what I want to do is I want to bring in Our Lady into it and contrast, and do a sort of a compare and contrast in a sense, showing that she's not a matriarch. But what brought it to my attention recently, what brought it on my radar screen, was when I was preparing myself for the interview that I had last week with Dr. E. Michael Jones, where we discussed the question of logos. I came upon an interview that he had with a gentleman named John Waters. Now, John Waters isn't going to be a popular name in America. He's not somebody who's well known to most of my listenership, I'm sure. Although some people may have come across his articles at First Things, but he was a part of the rebellious Irish rock and roll culture of the '60s. Through the school of hard knocks, he came back to his Catholic faith. He sired a child out of wedlock with Sinead O'Connor, and the legal battle that he got into to have rights as the father of that child woke him up to the fact that in Ireland, fathers didn't have many rights, at least not unwed fathers. The in an unwed situation of a child born out of wedlock, the father has no rights. When a child's born in a legal marriage, keeping in mind that Ireland, of course, is not Catholic as she used to be, so they have a lot of civil marriage and so forth now. But in Ireland, the father does have more rights if he's married. But still, as in, I think, the United States, oftentimes custody is given to the mom just sort of perfunctorily, because that's, if there's a case of divorce, because that's just kind of the way the courts are. It's weird. But anyway... So what I want to do is play a small snippet, because this was kind of a far-ranging interview. They were going all over the place. Jones was interviewing John Waters. John Waters became, he was dragged kicking and screaming into the culture wars. And through this weird instance where he's fighting for his rights as a father, he comes back to his Catholicism. This weird thing woke him up. And he became a conservative from being a liberal journalist. He got into journalism from rock and roll, because he was writing for some rock and roll newspaper. But then he started writing for mainstream newspapers in Ireland. And he went from being a liberal political commentator and cultural commentator to returning to his Catholic faith through this arduous journey involving fighting for fathers' rights. And it turned him into a conservative. And he ended up being called all kinds of names. And if you look on his Wikipedia page, you'll find that he's, you know, considered homophobic, which of course would make him a friend. I mean, because we're all called homophobics when we open our mouths about that issue. We're all called homophobes when we open our mouths about that issue, because that's just the name that the degenerates and the radicals and the cultural revolutionaries throw at us because it's convenient. And instead of arguing a cogent, intellectually honest case for their side, which is of course impossible, they just call names. They have to. That's what they have to do because they're wrong and they have no case. So here's John Waters being interviewed by E. Michael Jones, and some very interesting things get said here. I'm just going to play a couple of minutes clip, maybe 3 minutes, and then I'm going to come back and talk about it. There are some things in here that I don't quite agree with. I don't like the way it's said anyway, and so don't worry. If you get miffed at it, don't get miffed at me.